Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we come to the second of our series of studies on the power of prayer. And we wish to ask a question today and then answer the question during the course of the broadcast. The question is this: why do we pray? We do not pray to acquaint our Heavenly Father with our need. He already knows them. He's omniscient. But to acknowledge our need before Him. We read in Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, "When ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." Now, we do not pray to acquaint God with our needs, but we need to pray. And He wants us to acknowledge our need before Him. As a matter of fact, in just a few verses down in the so-called Lord's Prayer that He gave to His disciples, the model prayer, we're told in the 11th verse of that 6th chapter of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're instructed to pray. Now, we may not have to pray every day for our daily bread, but it sets the example. We have daily needs, material needs, and we're considering the material needs first of all. And He wants us to realize that we do have those material needs and bring them to Him so that He can answer our prayers and that we will give Him the glory. And He will confirm the fact that He loves us, and our faith will be strengthened thereby. Peter also speaks about this matter of bringing our material needs before the Lord for the help of the Lord and supplying them. He says in the fifth chapter of the first epistle of Peter, verse 7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And then Paul has something to say about this too. In the fourth chapter of his epistle to the Philippians, verse 6, we read, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God." Now notice, please, "be careful for nothing," that is, be full of care over nothing, "but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." I think we're inclined to bring the big things to God and to carry the little things on our own back. Do you notice what Paul says? "In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." These are for our material needs, but we have more need than our material needs. We have spiritual needs as well. And one of our spiritual needs is indeed wisdom. And then I'm going to talk about strength, and I'm talking about the strength to live God's life, guidance and patience. These are spiritual needs. Now, as far as the wisdom is concerned, that's the first thing that we're going to touch on. James tells us, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him," and that's a promise. Now, we lack wisdom. We cannot see around the next corner. God can. And He wants us, when we lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. He won't upbraid us, because He won't tell us when we tell Him, "Now, Lord, I don't have the answer here. I can't cope with this." He doesn't speak out of heaven and say, "Well, you ought to be able to. I saved you so long ago, you ought to be able to handle that." No. "He upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." And then we need strength. We need the strength of the Lord. And for instance, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, we're told the source of our strength. 3:16 of Ephesians. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the introductory verse in verse 14. Now verse 16. "That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." Now, this is an answer to the prayer of the Apostle Paul. He wants us to realize that we're strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man. We don't have to live the Christian life on our own. We take ourselves too seriously. We're strengthened by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God indeed strengthens us according to our need. This was Paul's prayer. But listen to the prayer that Isaiah suggests in the 40th chapter of his prophecy, verse 31. Here it is. They that wait upon the Lord. How do they wait upon the Lord? In prayer. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that's a promise. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm so thrilled at children that run all the time. Believe me, when I run, it's totally necessary. They shall run and not be weary. They shall just be like children. They shall walk and not faint. How do we do it? By just waiting upon the Lord and depending upon him. Yes, this takes care of the spiritual need for strength. We need guidance. In Psalm 31 and 3, for thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. God is able to guide us. As we said a few moments ago, we cannot look around the next corner, but God can. We need guidance. And I think so many of our prayers that glorify God is that we are specific. Lord, tell me what to do. Let's be specific in our prayers. And then, when they're answered, we'll know it. We will know it because we ask specifically. We just need guidance and we need strength. Now, we need patience as well. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11, we read there, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience. Now, patience and strength are related to each other. When we're strong, we have patience or endurance. And when we're weak, we don't have the patience that we need. The patient person is the strong person that finds his strength, I should say, in the Lord. Let me correct myself there. And we indeed pray and we are granted that patience. We shouldn't be like the man who said, oh God, I need patience and give it to me right now. No, we don't do it that way. We just depend upon him. And he strengthens us to all patience. And that is a spiritual virtue, I'm telling you, is to have patience and wait upon God. Then we have need of cleansing. In 1 John chapter 9, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, as I should say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, how do we confess our sins? We just get into the presence of God and tell him all about it. If we confess our sins and judge them, don't do it with our fingers crossed. Do it with the firm conviction that he wants you to confess them. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, he'll always do it, and he'll not compromise his character in doing it. He is faithful and just. Why is he just to forgive us our sins? Because his Son has already paid for them on the cross of Calvary. Now, for the unsaved, this is the child's privilege in coming and confessing our sins and having God forgive us. As far as the unsaved are concerned, they are to realize that God loved them and that he gave his Son to die on the cross of Calvary for their sins. And Christ assumed the responsibility for our sins and died for them. He knew what he was doing. He loved you and me, and he took our beating. He took our judgment that we might go free. Now, God wants us to accept that in order to become a Christian. That's why we make Christ our Savior. But then after we become saved, we do sin as Christians. It is well said, the Christian is not sinless. The Christian is not a sinless creature. He does commit sin, but he sins less. He's not sinless. He sins less, is what I'm trying to say. But when we do fail and fall, we go into the presence of God, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why can't we tell him, Lord, I need help. I don't want to do this. I just don't want to do this. And just lay it out all before him. Now, these are in connection with, indeed, our spiritual needs. Now, let's talk a little bit about the fact that we want to, that we may know the will of God and coordinate our lives with his principles when we pray. We read in Psalm 86 and verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. We need to coordinate our lives with the Lord. Teach me thy way. I want to know your principles, Lord. I suppose we could really substitute the word principle here and not do injustice, too much injustice to the text. Teach me thy principles, O Lord, thy laws. I want to know what I should be doing. And God, in his matchless grace, does indeed lead us to realize what his principles are, and that he might indeed coordinate our lives. God is a great coordinator. He coordinates the universe. But when you and I go for and take our own will, we interfere with his coordination. Why do we have such a hard time? Because we don't coordinate our efforts with God. He wants us to do that by prayer. If we will just pray this prayer, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Oh, how much better it would be for you and me, for me. Now, we should pray, thirdly, that God may be glorified. On our last broadcast, we quoted that verse in Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and that's a promise, and thou shalt glorify me. God wants us to call upon him in our troubles. He will deliver us, and it will bring glory to God. And that is one of the reasons why we pray, that God may be glorified. We read in the 107th Psalm about those sailors that are caught out at sea, and they're at their wits' end. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of all their distresses. He makes the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they're glad, because they are quiet. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and tell his, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God wants to deliver us that he might get the glory. Our Father, today we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Keep us in dependence upon yourself. Deliver us that we might praise you and give you the glory. In Christ's name, amen.